ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adrila, Chapter 4, entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Lord's Appearance, Text Number 87. Krishna Vancha Purti Rupa Kore Aradhane. अतएव राधिका नाम पुराणे वाखने Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Her worship, Aradhana, consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. Purport. The name Radha is derived from the root word Aradhana, which means worship. The personality who excels all in worshipping Krishna may therefore be called Radhika, the greatest servitor. Anaya Radhito Nunam Bhagavan Haririshvara Yanno Vihaya Govinda Pritoyam Anayaraha. Truly the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us all behind. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 30th Chapter. So first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and express my total disqualification in speaking on this most exalted subject matter. Only one who is completely purified can actually understand and relish this subject and even describe it. So, for the sake of purification, sometimes we speak on subject matters which is beyond our comprehension and understanding, and that is the whole path of sadhana bhakti, that we are constantly dealing with subjects and activities which we may not be able to appreciate. So therefore, on this occasion of Shri Radhashtami, to speak on the glories of Srimati Radharani is an extremely difficult and challenging endeavor, and only great elevated personalities can actually speak on this subject. But still, since it is part of our celebration and as part of service, then we have to do this. So, with all the blessings and the mercy and the prayers of the Vaishnavas, we will try to speak a little bit so that we are able to appreciate a tiny fraction of what the mercy of Srimati Radharani is all about. So, there is one nice article which His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj had written. Now, because this topic is so exalted and elevated, so there were different options available to me. But I decided to take the most conservative one, and an article written by Jayadvaita Maharaj many years back in Back to Godhead, entitled "Who is that girl?" And he was referring to how so many people approach devotees in the West and ask, when they say, "This is Krishna, we are chanting his name," but who's that girl standing next to Krishna? So, very nice article, and very succinctly he has brought out all the points about what Srimati Radharani actually represents and how we can understand this principle. So therefore, before we begin, just to give a very brief understanding of this verse which we discussed just now about Aradhana, worship. So the verse says that one who is able to worship Krishna perfectly, Anaya Radhito Nunam. And this verse says that Krishna Vancha Purti Rupe Kare Aradhane Atayeva Radhika Nam Purane. So Radhika means one who is able to worship Krishna perfectly. So just to give a simple example to understand to some degree what we are dealing with in this case, what Radharani actually represents. That just like if there is a pujari, because in our understanding and according to our level, when we see worship of the deities, we don't have access straight to Krishna. So at the most we see worship of the deities of Krishna happening in front of our eyes. So when we see Krishna being worshipped, then the person who is worshipping Krishna is a pujari. And therefore, a pujari does two activities. One is, he worships Krishna. He offers various articles to worship Krishna, glorify Krishna, please Krishna. And then after worshipping and glorifying Krishna and pleasing him, then the second part of the worship which he does is, he distributes the articles which he has offered to the people. So therefore a pujari, his worship consists of two parts. One is dealing with Krishna and then dealing with those who are also participating in the worship by witnessing, who have come for taking darshan, who are the great devotees. So the pujari act as the intermediary between those who come for Krishna's darshan and Krishna. Those who are eager to worship Krishna and Krishna. So in that sense we see that all of this whole concept of worship originates from the original worshipper of Krishna. The original pujari of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. So if you want to understand in just one word what Radharani is all about, that she is the best, topmost, perfect pujarini, the original worshipper of the Lord. And therefore, her role is twofold. Offering Krishna the best worship, the most perfect form of worship, which one can ever imagine. And the kind of worship which Krishna exactly wants, and that which pleases Krishna to perfection. Just like pujari also, you know, they can be of different types. Like we have seen before, that when you are worshipping, according to the consciousness you worship things in different ways. Like many years back we had a devotee here who was very strong and muscular. So while offering aarti, you know, he would be offering aarti like this. And sometimes observing his powerful form also. And he would be looking here and there and seeing who's observing the worship and who's witnessing me. And sometimes some people, you know, after the offering is over and they bring the offering out and then take some of the maha and, you know, keep it inside pocket and keep it somewhere else before the aarti begins. So they know they have some quota, right? So whatever goes in doesn't come out fully. And many times some people have reputation for that, so you know that, what to expect. So therefore, Radharani is the kind of pujari, is the kind of worshipper who offers perfect worship in terms of attitude and consciousness and ingredients and the mood, expertise, whatever you can imagine in terms of worship. The best quality available. And then whatever she receives as a result of worship of Krishna, she distributes it completely without keeping anything back. So these are the two things which a pujari does. Worship Krishna and then distribute. And to the extent we are purified, to the extent we are having high degree of consciousness, to that extent both of these activities we'll do with great reverence and with great perfection. So therefore we find that the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam receives Radharani's garland most of the time. So Radharani is having garland in her hand, she's offering it to Krishna. So she's offering it in the best possible way, in a way which is completely pleasing to Krishna. And then what she receives, Krishna's grace, that Mahaprasad she is offering back for the souls to be purified. So therefore Radharani is constantly acting as the intermediary. She is interacting with Krishna, and then whatever she receives as a result of that interaction with Krishna, she distributes to the souls. So therefore, it is so important for conditioned souls like us to appreciate the glory and the mercy of Srimati Radharani on this day, because we see that she is the most perfect intermediary to receive and access Krishna's grace and Krishna's mercy. So the first point which we will take is, there are four or five points which Jayadvith Maharaj makes in this article. First is, what is pleasure potency? What is the meaning of pleasure potency? So all of us want to enjoy. So when we want to enjoy, we are always seeking some kind of reciprocation with either objects or with people. But if Krishna, who is unlimitedly powerful and all opulent, he wants to enjoy, nothing in this world which is insignificant can give him pleasure. So therefore, because Krishna is so unlimitedly powerful, he needs someone of his caliber to give him pleasure. Therefore, Krishna personally expands himself, and his pleasure potency, or what is known as the potency within himself that gives him enjoyment, he expands that into a separate form. So that potency is a person, is a personality. And that is known as, and she is known as Srimati Radharani. So this pleasure potency of Lord Krishna, who exists to give pleasure to the Lord, is non-different from the Lord. And therefore, she is one with and different from Krishna, just as the sun and the sunshine are simultaneously one and different from Krishna. So sun and sunshine are simultaneously one and different from each other. So Radharani and Krishna are simultaneously one and different from each other. For example, Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And he was saying that anyone who is in Vrindavan is in the lap of Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, but Krishna is not loitering in Lohi Bazaar. So one should not think that simply by coming here, we have come in contact with Krishna. So achintya bhed abhed tattva is a very important concept. And therefore, Radharani is the potency which provides pleasure to the Lord. And therefore Krishna is completely in bliss in reciprocation with Srimati Radharani. And because bliss is something which drives and moves the entire creation, therefore, Srimati Radharani, who is the embodiment of that bliss, controls the movements of Krishna. And therefore, she is known as Madan Mohan Mohini, one who controls Krishna also. One who attracts even the Cupid is controlled by Srimati Radharani. One devotee was in Vrindavan. He was from America, and he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what is the difference between Golok and Vrindavan? Prabhupada said, there is no difference. But right now your mind is in America. So it is very difficult for you to appreciate and understand what these concepts are. So one has to become gradually purified. Atah Sri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyai sevan mukhaihi jihuvadav. That one has to become purified of the desire to enjoy, and then gradually these things become revealed. One time Prabhupada was on a morning walk, And then they came to a zoo, and it was written outside, Children's Fairyland. And Prabhupada saw that, and he read it, Children's Fairyland. And then Prabhupada pointed to a big skyscraper, and Prabhupada said, Adult's Fairyland. That we are trying to imitate the Supreme Lord by creating facilities for enjoyment, until one overcomes the influence of enjoyership in this world, there is no concept of entering into Vrindavan. And therefore Narottam Das Thakur says, Vishaya chadiya kave, shuddha habe mana. That till one is purified of the influence of the desire for sense gratification, one cannot understand what the land of Vrindavan is all about. Someone came and told Srila Prabhupada that this is a golf course and they are playing golf. And Prabhupada said, why? And they said they have retired from their regular life and they want to spend the remaining part of their life doing nothing. Prabhupada said, it is not that they are not doing nothing. They have retired, but still they are spending so much of energy putting the ball in a hole. And they are spending so much of their life's precious energy doing that. Why? Because they lack a goal in life. And therefore, this is what their whole concept of enjoyment in this world has become. So, because of the illusion, one thinks that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer and the proprietor. Until one overcomes this influence, one cannot understand what Krishna and the dealings between Krishna and his devotees are. Just like in Soviet Union, when the Soviet, that means the communist regime, took over, so there were various communist leaders who were visiting different schools and preaching about communism. And they would take children to churches and bring deities out of the churches and break those deities. And then tell in front of everyone, just see, we have broken the deities, but still we are alive. God has not been able to punish us. That means what? God does not exist. He does not have the power to punish us. Therefore he doesn't exist. So then one old man in the audience, he said, that when the God wants to punish you, the first thing he does is takes away the power of your intelligence. And then when a person's intelligence is lost, then ultimately he is on the fall. He is on the path of fall down very soon. So those who are stuck up in this material world, they have the intelligence, but the intelligence is completely utilized for sense gratification. And therefore, under the influence of this enjoyership mentality, one cannot approach the land of Vrindavan and the reciprocation therein. So here it is described that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said this material world is like a well, but it is a dried up well and there is no water inside. And we are all like frogs jumping in the dried up well and therefore feeling totally miserable. As frogs, we need the water, but because we are in the dried up well, we do not taste that water, so we are miserable. And because it is a well, we can't come out also. And therefore, maximum we can do is croak and make a sound and feel miserable. So therefore, as one of the acharyas says, prema dhana vina vyartha, vyartha daridra jivan dasakari vetana more. Deha premadhan. That without this premadhan, without that wealth of devotion, of love, one is simply daridra, poverty stricken. Dasakari vetan more, and only one becomes a das, a servant, and gives up this desire to control and enjoy. Says, so just give me that vetan. Vetan means salary. I'm just looking for the salary of servitude. And when I get this opportunity and chance to serve, then I will be fully satisfied. Deha premadhan. And then I will be able to have access to this premadhan. So therefore this pleasure potency means a potency which gives pleasure to Krishna, and Srimati Radharani is that pleasure potency. So the second principle is, who can understand all this? Who can appreciate this? So first of all, one cannot understand this subject matter by mental speculation. Secondly, one needs the mercy of a great soul who has access to this. And therefore, one has to hear from a bona fide authority in a mood of submissiveness. Then only we can appreciate and understand what is this subject matter of pleasure potency. And this principle is one of the most important principles. Prabhupada was giving a talk in Paris. And the people there in the audience were pretty skeptical about what he was saying. So after Prabhupada gave a talk, one gentleman got up. And in a challenging tone, he just said that, "Sir, I'm afraid that there is no religiosity here anywhere in this room." So he said, "I'm afraid there is no religiosity." So he was criticizing Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada took his remark in another way. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you are afraid? Why are you feeling afraid? If you are feeling afraid, chant Hare Krishna." And he got totally confused. Because his point was, he was trying to challenge Prabhupada that there is no religiosity, but Prabhupada took the first part, "I am afraid," he said. He said, "Why are you afraid? Chant Hare Krishna." He got confused and sat down. And then Prabhupada continued the talk on the need for submissive oral reception. And unless one has that submissive attitude, one cannot appreciate this. So this is very important. Prabhupada went to MIT. And he said, "This is MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So if this is MIT, where is Almighty?" And none of the professors had any answer. And then after the talk, Prabhupada told his disciples, "Maya's Institute of Technology." That there is no discussion about God. And they are doing so many things. So last year I was giving a talk at MIT. And this was like the topmost college for technology. And they had arranged a program, and there were 50 people with professors and everything. And the LCD projector didn't work. You know, this is the topmost college for technology. And the person is introducing me, at the same time with his other hand, he's trying to work on the projector also. And at the end, he couldn't get it going. He said finally that, "I think it is God's arrangement." He was not a devotee, but immediately he started philosophy as soon as things didn't work. And I couldn't also do anything or chastise him, because the topic of my talk was overcoming anger. And after the talk, one professor, very famous professor, came. And this was a lady professor, very old. And she said that, "I've been in this college for more than 30 years and I get so much grants and I've published so many papers. But the problem is that I'm able to do everything as far as my research is concerned. But when it comes to my own system, I just collapse completely. I don't know how to deal with my own self." And she said that, "We have all kinds of technology here in this college, but somehow we have so many people who just can't deal with themselves." So therefore, Srila Prabhupada was present in this philosophy, and unless one hears from a great authority what exactly is the science of Krishna consciousness, how the jiva, how the soul can connect with the Supreme, one will always face this difficulty. Therefore, Prabhupada was in Dallas. He came for the installation of Kalachanji. And then Prabhupada, as soon as he got down, Prabhupada began. And there were reporters, and there was a press conference. And Prabhupada said, "There are three ways of flying. One is train a pigeon and climb on the back of the pigeon and fly. Second is by chanting mantra. And third is you come in a machine like this." So somehow Prabhupada just began this topic. And then as soon as Prabhupada ended, one reporter asked Prabhupada, lady reporter, that, "Swamiji, if you know all the three techniques, why did you fly American Airlines?" Prabhupada said, "Just to be one with you, so that you don't feel bad." And the lady told the devotee who was sitting nearby, "Somehow I like this person. He's very down to earth." And Srila Prabhupada was presenting this philosophy all over the world, and it was his greatest challenge to make people like the philosophy, like this topic, giving something which no one wants to listen. Therefore, unless one gives submissive oral reception to a great soul, this subject will remain forever a great mystery. Therefore, someone asked Srila Prabhupada that, can you tell me in gist, what is this Chaitanya Charitamrita CC all about? What is this CC? And Prabhupada said, CC means two things, chanting and cooperation. Chanting of the Lord, and how He inundated the world with chanting. And then you see the loving reciprocation amongst the devotees. That is the whole sum and substance. But to understand this and appreciate it, it requires purification. One time Prabhupada was giving a class in one temple, and then Prabhupada said, the whole Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by Krishna's mercy. Because practically no one wants it, no one wants to hear this, but still people are accepting Krishna consciousness, people are becoming devotees. It is simply by Krishna's mercy that this ISKCON society is spreading all over the world. And then when Prabhupada said that, it was a morning class, devotees were tired, and people were sleeping one over another. And practically everyone was half asleep, fully asleep, 20% asleep, different states. And then Prabhupada looked over the room, and he saw that practically no one was in awakened state. And then Prabhupada said, that is a fact. He concluded by saying, it is spreading by Krishna's mercy, and that is a fact. That in spite of this, it is a proof that what is happening is simply by Krishna's mercy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was empowered to present this highest philosophy in the most degraded age, in so many degraded parts of the world, and people were so inspired that they took this message and went all over. And only by that effort of so many Western disciples of Srila Prabhupada that ISKCON has now spread all over the world. And we have an access to all of this philosophy which would have remained with only a few people. So this idea of what Krishna is something very esoteric. Harishwaripra was telling that the first time he went out and met devotees, it was in Harinam Sankirtan. And he saw devotees chanting and dancing, someone was distributing books. So he took one back to Godhead, and the cover of the back to Godhead had the famous Ras Leela picture. Multiple Krishnas and multiple gopis. They are all dancing together, you know. Many Krishnas are there in that, and they are in a circle and they are all dancing. And he didn't know what this philosophy is, who Krishna is, what. He just saw people dancing, he liked it, he bought a book, and came back to his room, and he and his room partner, who was from Ireland, both were speculating, who are these blue fellows? You know, he said, who are these blue fellows? And his room partner said, maybe some spirits, you know. And they had no idea. And then they started visiting the temple, and then gradually they came to know who is Krishna. And then after a few years they came to know, okay, when Krishna performs this dance, he expands himself into so many different forms, so each gopi thinks Krishna is with me alone. And this was being distributed right on the streets. And people who were completely drunk in different states of intoxication were taking, and they were directly into Rasa Panchadhyaya. The 10th canto, the most esoteric part, they were directly getting a chance to at least have darshan and understand. So that was Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So here we find that ultimately we need submissive oral reception, and only by the mercy of some great soul we can actually enter into this subject. This is the second point. Who can understand all this? Someone who is submissive, who hears from great authorities, and also he takes guidance. Just like Devamrita Maharaj was telling one story, that one devotee in Ukraine, he works in an ad agency, and he got an offer to make one advertisement for a slaughterhouse. And he was a very talented artist, so he got this offer. So he didn't want to take it. So somehow he, you know, told his boss that I'm very busy, I can't do it. But again and again the ad agency was pursuing, we want this person only. So finally, he just told his colleagues that I can't do it, let us give it to some other company. So then they just refused that offer. And then he tried one more technique. He quoted a price which was 10 times higher than his regular price. That if you want me to do this ad, this much it will cost. And 10 times, it was ridiculous price. And that slaughterhouse came up saying, we agree. No problem, do it. And he was thinking, my God, what is this? I'm trying to avoid this sinful money, it is not leaving me. And then he said, no, I can't do it, you send it to some other company. And they referred the case to some other competing ad agency. And the other ad agency sent a note to this devotee saying that because you gave us such a big offer, we want to offer you 20% commission. And he was breaking his head. He said, my God, I'm trying to avoid this at any cost. Somehow that money is not leaving me. So he then asked one of the senior devotees what we should do. And then he said that normally this is very, very sinful. But somehow, because anyway it has already come, so use it directly for the service of the deities. So then some deities were bought and some books were bought out of that. And then he was saying that this person was protected and saved because he took guidance. He was submissive. He was taking directions. And that principle is very important when we are progressing on this path. Pujala raga patha gaurava bhange. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to quote this, that these are very high topics and when we approach them we should do it with great awe and reverence. And then we should do that in the mood of respect and great worship. So this is a most important principle, and therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically instructed Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami on the science of bhakti, so that people in future understand that bhakti is a science. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all through the time was dancing in ecstasy, jumping up and down, falling on the ground. You know, his limbs would twist in different ways. Sometimes it would break, it would again join, and he could do anything with his body. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that unless I document this, and people try to imitate, thinking that, oh, jumping like this is bhakti, then we can also do that. And they'll try doing that. So they will not get the essence of what devotional service is, simply by seeing from outside. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Rupa Goswami to document things, so that for generations to come, people know that this is a science which anyone can practice and get the result. Just like one may see an expert ballet dancer or a gymnast doing somersault, jumping up and down, doing all kinds of twirls. And if one thinks, oh, that's what I have to do, it's very simple. And one tries that, he'll end up in orthopedic ward. Because what appears from outside is not what the reality is. So therefore, someone may be crying in ecstasy because of great love for Radha and Krishna. But by seeing that, one cannot get the same love. One has to follow the signs. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent considerable amount of energy investing all of this knowledge to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And of the first principles Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar of Devotion for bhakti to manifest is Adav Guru Padashray. That we have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and hear from them. That means Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting ecstasy. But when he explained the whole science of ecstasy to Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami is giving us the instruction, first approach a great soul and serve him submissively. So ultimately we must follow Rupa Goswami and not directly what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing. So the third principle is, after having seen what is the pleasure potency and who can understand, what gives Krishna pleasure? What actually makes Krishna happy? So we see that Krishna is a reservoir of all pleasure, he is all attractive. But Krishna himself derives pleasure from service which is rendered to him. So that means devotional service, bhakti, is all attractive even to Krishna. Therefore, one of the characteristics of bhakti, the last characteristic is Sri Krishna Akarshani. So Krishna is all attractive and bhakti attracts Krishna.
That means devotional service attracts even all attractive, all opulent Krishna. And therefore, no amount of material opulences can attract Krishna. So this has to be understood. Because Krishna is full, he can't become envious of anyone or anything. Prabhupada was in Delhi one time, and he was driving through a part of Delhi known as Chanakyapuri, where all the different consulates are. And very aristocratic people were driving by in various, you know, foreign cars, and one of the disciples was driving Prabhupada in an ambassador car, and he was telling Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, just see the Mercedes Benz. Says, Prabhupada, this is a limousine. Prabhupada, this and that. And he was naming all the different cars. And Prabhupada said, why are you chanting all these cars' names? And he said, Prabhupada, I'm just thinking, why are these non-devotees have all these cars? You should be having all these cars. Prabhupada said, I don't mind, give them to me. And then he said, that when you look at these things, don't become envious. And Prabhupada quoted a story that when I was in college, in Scottish Church College, there was one friend who was always looking at me and asking me, where did you get this, where did you get that, whenever I would wear anything. So one day Prabhupada was wearing some shirt and his friend said, where did you get this? And Prabhupada said, I got so disgusted I took out in the middle of the road and gave it to him. That you want it, take it. Don't keep asking where you got this. And that fellow got so embarrassed, no, don't do this. So Prabhupada said, don't be envious. And when a person is envious, he cannot appreciate what he has received. And therefore Krishna, because he is all opulent, he has everything, he can never be envious of anyone. He doesn't have to be because he is completely full in himself. Therefore there is only one thing which can attract Krishna, and that is devotional service. And so, Srimati Radharani is the embodiment of pure devotional service. She is the master of pure devotional service. She knows exactly how bhakti should be done. And therefore, because she is the authority on a subject which is most dear and attractive to Krishna, therefore, she becomes so attractive to Krishna. Like that. So therefore, aradhana, and that's the word used here, worship, excels all in worshipping Krishna. And thus, Krishna, who is not attracted by any amount of material opulences, finds the attraction of Srimati Radharani irresistible. And this is a very, very powerful principle. So we get attracted by various objects in this world. And attraction and repulsion, raga dvesha. So Krishna is beyond this raga dvesha, but what attracts him is this bhakti. And because Radharani does it so perfectly well, she knows what will be pleasing to the Lord. She knows Krishna's heart, and therefore that pleases Krishna the most. Prabhupada came to a temple, and he looked at the deities and said, Krishna's hair looked too long. We should make it short. And then Prabhupada came and sat on the Vyasas and was about to begin class. Then Prabhupada turned around and said, No, leave it like that. Radharani likes it that way. Prabhupada made that comment. So, Srimati Radharani is a personality who understands this. But because we are caught by various attractions and repulsions, every object which comes in front of us, we judge in terms of, should I keep it? Is it attractive enough for me to keep? Or it is not sufficiently attractive I can give to Krishna? Is it too repelling that I don't even want to deal with it? So then we are constantly judging things in terms of how we get attracted or repelled. And therefore we are not able to offer everything, every time, in every possible way, totally to Krishna. And that is why our worship is lacking. You know, so many things keep going out. Just like after the offering, when the Mahaprasad trace goes out, then there are some Dan Leela pastime on the way. Some devotees will be standing and, you know, they are they are performing the seva of taking the trays, but suddenly they see the that goes inside one packet. And then something else goes here, something else goes there. So everything doesn't go. Something goes somewhere. So when we find something too attractive, then we decide not to offer it to Krishna. So therefore, Radharani is so special because she is able to offer everything and everyone without consideration. And that is why it is great hope for us. Otherwise, if we think, if she finds me too repelling, finished. So therefore, because she has that mercy, she will just offer everything without consideration. Just like Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Vrindavan, and Gurudas Prabhu saw some peacocks. And Prabhupada said that amongst birds, we can see that the males are more attractive. Prabhupada said, but among humans, the females or the women are more attractive than men. And then Prabhupada added, amongst Muslims, a person with a long beard and big mustache is considered most attractive. So Gurudas Prabhu said, Bho, that means, as far as we are concerned, we are least attractive because we have no hair. And Prabhupada said that, yes, nobody likes us. Therefore, we are neither male nor female. No one knows who we are. But in one sense, it is good because we have to overcome this designation of being a male or a female because we are spirit soul. And then when we are on that platform, we are neither attracted nor repelled by anything of this world. And that is the spiritual platform. And that is what we are aiming for. So therefore, what gives Krishna pleasure is bhakti, and bhakti means utilizing everything. Sarvo padi minirvuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. To use things to please Krishna. Like that. So therefore, the fourth principle which is expressed is that, okay, if bhakti is most attractive to Krishna, then what is this love of this world which we talk about? There are so many attractions in this world also. A mother is devoted to the son, or a servant is devoted to the master, a wife is devoted to the husband. There are so many different forms of devotion or bhakti seen in this world also. Desh bhakti, matra bhakti, this bhakti, that bhakti. So then the fourth principle is, what is the difference between lust and love? So lust means anything which is utilized for my own pleasure. And love means anything which is simply for Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, that is the difference between iron and gold, as Kaviraj Goswami says. So lust means that we try to enjoy and try to become the enjoyer. And the mundane sex life of this world comes in the category of lust. And because we have that idea of lust, of trying to enjoy, automatically we will never be able to appreciate what the pure sentiments of Radharani and the gopis for Krishna is. And there is a whole detailed description in Chaitanya Charitamrita on this subject in Adilila, which is very, very fascinating, and one must read it to understand this tattva very clearly. Like during our travels, Govind Prabhu was making a nice point that Kali Yuga is a very deadly yuga. It is the age of hypocrisy and quarrel. Right? When we are with people, we quarrel. And when we are alone, we indulge in hypocrisy. So whether you are alone or you are with people, there will always be some problem. And therefore one comes under the influence of lust. And this lust makes one selfish and tend to perform activities for sense gratification. Just like in the Purana, there is a story of even amongst demigods, you can see how the influence is so strong. There was this sage called Ugratapas. And he was carrying this, he was so old. His name was Ugratapas, but he had great desire for sense gratification. Was filled with lust. And his chaste wife would carry him in a basket. Her name was Narayani. And she would take him to different places according to his desire for sense gratification. So one sage saw this and he thought, what ridiculous thing is happening. This fellow is so old, he can't even enjoy properly. Still that desire, that lust is so much. He just said, better you give up this body. You are giving trouble to everyone. And then he gave a concession that you give up your body by the time the sun rises tomorrow morning. So his wife Narayani was such a chaste lady. She said, wow, you have given him a curse to die, but at least by sunrise, by the power of my chastity, I will make sure that sun will not rise. So she made a vow like that. And because of that vow, the movement of the sun stopped. And the chariot, Surya's chariot stopped. It couldn't move forward. And Surya's chariot driver, Aruna, he asked Suryadev, what happened? And Suryadev said, some problem, you know, there is some curse. Because of that, we won't be able to go forward. He said, how long it will go? Maybe a day, I don't know. Now Aruna, who is the chariot driver, never gets a leave. Because sun is always moving. Sun never takes a leave, even on Sunday. You know, sun is always moving. So the chariot is always moving. He never got a leave before. He thought, my God, this is my chance, you know, for a casual leave. That never before and never in future I may get this chance. Immediately, he jumped out. And he decided, okay, where can I enjoy? As soon as he came out of the chariot, the first thought which came was where to enjoy. And then he got the information, okay, Menaka is dancing in Indra's court. That is the best place to go. So he changed himself into a beautiful apsara and went. And then somehow he was stopped, but he managed to get in and he was watching that dance. And as soon as he was seeing that, Indra saw. And Indra got attracted to her because he had taken the form of a lady. And Indra said, I want to enjoy with you. He said, hey, I'm not a lady, I'm actually a man. He said, no, whatever you are, I don't care. I am attracted. And he gave a conception. And he got bewildered, he came back. And Suryadev said, where did you have your vacation? He said, went to Indra, I knew, and he gave me a conception. He said, what? How could he give you a conception? He said, because I had taken a beautiful, you know, form of a lady, but that's a different story. He said, hey, what form of lady you took? Suryadev said, no, I am your master, you have to show me that form. But we have to take our chariot, that chariot will come later. First you show me. He was also so bewildered, he saw that form, he also gave a conception. So now both of these conceptions, both Surya and Indra didn't know what to do. So ultimately they said, okay, there is one great monkey who is performing austerity, Rikshuraj. And he wants sun, so you give them to him. So these two were given and they ultimately became Sugriva and Vali. So we can see that even amongst demigods who are so powerful, as soon as there is little spare time, immediately the mind goes only for enjoyment. So therefore Prabhupada said, one must be so busy in Krishna consciousness that there is absolutely no free time, no spare time. So one should not think that the more spare time I have, the more I will think of Krishna. That is a very rare happening. So therefore sadhana bhakti means practice. And because we do not have love, as soon as we get the opportunity, the mind straight slides into lusty desires. And that means my own enjoyment. And therefore, there is this difference between lust and love, and we have to appreciate this. I was telling this story the other day. A brahmachari was massaging Srila Prabhupada. And when he was massaging Srila Prabhupada, there was a mirror on the side. And Prabhupada was resting with his stomach and his head on his hand. And as he was massaging, this brahmachari saw the mirror. And he was seeing his own reflection in the mirror. And he was adjusting his clothes also. And he was seeing how he's looking when he's massaging. And he didn't see that Prabhupada was also looking with one eye. And then he thought, nobody is watching. And then when he would look down, Prabhupada would also take his head down. And again Prabhupada would look. And then after some time, some other devotees entered and Prabhupada turned to this devotee and said, so, you are so fascinated with yourself? You want to get married? What do you think you are? You are this body? And this devotee got totally bewildered. And therefore we find that the conception of thinking that I am the enjoyer, I am the center, and I need all the resources of enjoyment is so prominent that it is very difficult to say anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavratam. So to offer everything to Krishna, that is love. And all of the gopis were glorious because they could do that, including their honor and ego or whatever else one may be very careful about in this life. they gave for Krishna's pleasure. That is why they are glorious, because their attitude was 100% selfless. No thought of any selfish conception. So, this is the symptom of what love is all about. So the last principle is that if this is the difference between lust and love, how can we learn to serve Radha and Krishna with love? And so for this, again, we have to appreciate that to approach Radha and Krishna, we need the guidance of pure devotees. So how can we learn to serve Radha and Krishna? We have to take shelter of the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, we get service. And then by doing gradually simple services, we become purified. And then we will be able to serve Radha and Krishna and understand what these concepts are all about. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time. Therefore, Guru, we say, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Koriya Aikya Shri Guru Charana Padma. So, Gaurgovinda Maharaj explains that when we say Padma, Charana Padma, lotus feet of a spiritual master, what does the lotus feet mean? Lotus has three characteristics. First is, it gives out honey. And that honey is so powerful that it can actually cure one's blindness in medicinal terms. So it is called Padma. So it is called a kind of honey, madhu, coming from the Padma. Padma madhu. But the charana padma and the nectar which comes, the mercy which is released by the spiritual master and the great souls, that nectar, that mercy is such a powerful medicine that it destroys avidya. Second aspect of a lotus is, the lotus is in the water, in the mud, but doesn't get affected by the mud. So great souls like Srila Prabhupada appear within the material world taking great risks. And they give this mercy and knowledge of Radha and Krishna to all of us. They are not affected by the influence of this world, just like a lotus. But those who take advantage of this message, they become purified. And therefore, these personalities, their greatest pleasure is to serve the Lord by spreading this message to one and all. And the third principle is that just like a lotus closes at night and blooms in the presence of sunshine, similarly, the great souls release their mercy when they see the sunshine of our eagerness to follow the instructions and hear from them. When the sunshine goes away, we are no longer eager. We become self-centered. We do not show that attitude to learn and hear and be submissive and serve. Then the lotus closes. That means the mercy stops flowing. Therefore, depending on how eager we are to serve and follow, to that extent, the mercy is released, just like the lotus. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave instruction to Srila Prabhupada in 1922 that you go and give this message all over the world. And Prabhupada took that instruction to heart. And then he was actually trying to fulfill that desire. Because he understood that the way to please Krishna is just to follow in the footsteps of Radharani. Just like Radharani pleases Krishna to the best possible way. And then Srimati Radharani takes the responsibility of recommending all the souls to Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports, Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart. And she is offering all the souls. So Prabhupada says in one lecture, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya. Krishna is offered to me. Prabhupada says, no, better offer to Radharani. And then tell her, you offer this flower to your Krishna. So therefore Srimati Radharani is eager to purify all the souls and take them to Krishna. And so great acharyas, great souls also follow in the footsteps. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that same mood of distributing that mercy and bringing the souls back home, back to Godhead. This was in the 30s and 40s The late 40s and 50s, when Prabhupada was having his house at Sitakanta Banerjee Lane in Calcutta, and the first floor he had given as a donation to the Gaudiya Math. So the Gaudiya Math brahmacharis and sannyasis would have Harinamamrita Vyakaran classes, and there was one devotee, Dol Govind Shastri, who was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple. He was a Sanskrit teacher. So he would come and teach the brahmacharis and sannyasis Harinamamrita Vyakaran. And Prabhupada would come back from his business in the evening, and he would have some rounds, so he would sit on the stairs, which would go to the first floor, and the stairs were from outside, so Prabhupada would sit on the stairs and chant his rounds. And then after the lecture, Dol Govinda Shastri would come down and they would sit and discuss pastimes of Saraswati Thakur and something like that. So one day Dol Govinda Shastri came out and said, "Today I spoke to the students about Prithvityachiyata Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachara, that this message will spread all over the planet. But I was not having conviction. I was just thinking how this mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mercy of Radharani will spread all over the world. I think it is very difficult, maybe impossible, because the ray of Vishnu, Saraswati Thakur has given us this mission, we are all fighting." Prabhupada said, "It will happen, don't worry." And then Prabhupada got up and walked two steps down the stairs, turned around, and looked at Dol Govinda Shastri and said, "Someday a fool who is surrendered to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will do it." And Prabhupada again took two steps down, again turned around and told Dol Govinda Shastri, "But not you." And then he was thinking at that time, "Hey, he is saying like this to me? He is only doing business all the time? How can I do this?" And many years later, when he was in Jagannath Puri and he was going to Ravenshaw College in Cuttack, Dol Govinda Shastri saw one Western devotee. You know, he was going out for collection, life membership, and he was having some magazine. He immediately stopped and said, "Who are you? Never seen a Western devotee like this with Shikha and all." He said, "No, I'm very busy. I can't talk to you." He said, "But tell me." So he just gave a Back to Godhead magazine. All the details are here. And he went ahead. And on the cover it was written, "Yoga is not gymnastics." So Dol Govinda Shastri immediately remembered, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement. He started chasing this devotee. He said, "Hey, come on. You tell me where you got this. Who has written this?" And he showed the first page. "This is my spiritual master." And Prabhupada's photo was there. He said, "Abhay Babu, he took sannyas. When did this happen?" And he said, "This is my Guru Maharaj, and he took sannyas so many years back." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Dol Govinda Shastri. I am disciple Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur." And this devotee got bewildered. He offered his obeisances. And he said, "I am sorry, I didn't recognize you." And then he explained to this devotee how practically all of us were bewildered about who will become the instrument in spreading this mercy all over the world. But because Srila Prabhupada was submissive and followed the instructions of Srila Saraswati Thakur to the core, then he became empowered to take this message, spread this knowledge, and give the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worldwide to all the suffering conditioned souls. And this is what the mercy of Srimati Radharani is all about, that she pleases Krishna with her excellent worship, and then she just distributes whatever she has received to all the souls, and then when they approach her, she just offers all of them to Krishna unconditionally. And therefore that mercy of Srimati Radharani is our only hope. On this day we pray at her lotus feet to give us that kind of conviction and desire to serve the Vaishnavas in this mission, so that we also become purified, although we are unqualified and we have so many problems. Just like yesterday I was saying, that how we came to this movement is something unplanned. We didn't plan things. Nobody wrote in a calendar, 2001 I will start chanting 4 rounds, 2005 I will start chanting 16 rounds, 2007 I will get initiated. No, everything happened. How it happened? Somehow, someone made it happen. So whoever made it happen so far will also make it happen in future. So why one should be in anxiety? So therefore on this day we pray to Srimati Radharani to give us her causeless mercy, give us that conviction to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and serve this mission of Srila Prabhupada with great sincerity and humility, without committing offenses, so that we also become qualified to be humble instruments in this most wonderful path of Krishna consciousness. We do not know how to serve and how to please Krishna. She knows. So let us pray to her to give us the intelligence, give us the understanding that we take humble shelter at the lotus feet of great souls who have taken shelter at her lotus feet. With that prayer, I would like to end today's presentation and also like to inform those devotees who are bringing bhoga that please make sure that all the bhogas come by 11:30 in the morning, and after that there is going to be offering, and now we will start Abhishek in a few moments, and then again in the evening there will be special darshan, there will be special Gopalji darshan also, and there will be a lecture in the evening at around 7 o'clock and Maharati and Mahaprasad for all the devotees. Srimati Radharani ki, Sri Sri Radhashtami Mahamahotsav ki, Tai Gopremanande.